Thank you very much. Good afternoon, and it's good to see you all still being here. And my presentation today is on the implementation of a regional tobacco cessation model and strategies with the focus on prevention in rural and underserved communities in the state of Florida. I have no relationships to disclose. Our focus is on tobacco prevention. Of adults who smoke, 89% began smoking at 18 years or younger. Approximately 20% of Florida's deaths are due to cigarette smoking. I want to show you the Florida AHEC Network, which covers the state of Florida. It is a coalition of five universities, and those five universities all have medical schools. Those medical schools in this coalition have a total of 10 regional community-based area health education centers that cover all 67 counties of the state of Florida. So they're rooted in the community to carry out community-based, at-hand activities with those rural and underserved communities. My focus today is going to be on a region, and that is the South Central region, where you would see South Central region here, which is a total of 19 counties. Which is managed by the service region of Nova Southeastern University's AHEC program. So the goal of the Florida AHEC Training and Cessation Program is to strengthen the capacity of Florida's healthcare system to deliver effective tobacco use treatment and cessation services throughout the state. We use two sets of guidelines. One is the CDC's best practices. And secondly, the U.S. Public Health Service clinical guidelines for tobacco use and dependence. Under the CDC's best practice, our focus is on cessation, which focuses on intervention to increase cessation, system initiatives, system-based initiatives, as well as introducing system change, along with being able to provide intensive counseling to the constituents who are participants in cessation, as well as provide nicotine replacement therapy. We do this in the two components. It's the AHEC tobacco training for healthcare workforce, you'll see later, and the community-based cessation counseling services that we have. So, with the CDC practices and the clinical practice guidelines, it's the number 6 of the clinical practice guidelines, which identifies 7 medications to be used in cessation, 4 of which are prescription medications. In our program and in our model, we use the NRT, the patch, the gum, and the lozenger. So whenever I use the term NRT, that's what we're using, that's voluntary, and we could pass it on. We target a wide variety of health professions. Cessation programs are targeted to the underserved and the low-income populations and communities who are in rural areas. They're implemented again in every county, and we're going to be discussing the 19 counties which comprise of our model. Now, the statewide AHEC system had to conceptualize a model in order to be able to cover this whole state. So the cessation program model highlights the input, activities, output, and the outcomes. So I've shaded in for you the important areas of this particular model that focuses on cessation. I might indicate that the last item here under inputs, identify the funding for this program. The funding for this program comes from the legislature of the state of Florida. It's an annual appropriation based on the needs of the state, and to date, our funding has been pretty consistent. Our activities are basically to do the training for cessation, prevention, and treatment, and we've developed a series of counseling services that are distributed throughout the 67 counties. More particularly, we're going to share with you what happens in the 19 counties. But one of the outcomes, basic outcome, is to be able to change behavior of our practitioners out in the field to get them to be able to recommend to patients, to referral cessation programs, and to be able to understand the necessary ability to be able to treat. And of course, we want to be able to increase demand and as a long-range activity to increase cessation attempts among tobacco users as well as advisors to help persons quit. So from the training point of view, the targeted and future current health professionals are these that you see. At the Nova Southeastern University, as well as the University of Florida, a couple of the others in the coalition, require every medical student during their first year to have a day of learning. And that day of learning is on tobacco use and dependency and prevention. And then the students are all sent out into the middle schools to teach the kids the dangers of smoking. And then, of course, they do it through games and other sorts of activities that are exciting to them. Training sites are, you see in the local and statewide, our local training sites are, with the community health centers, are in the federally funded, federally qualified health centers. But it is important to note that we branched out to include the associations where you can identify a large mass of people that you can do the training all at once when they're having the association meetings. So how do we introduce this system change? We did it by linking health facilities. We trained the current and future health workforce to carry out that cessation using a model called the Quit Smoking Now model. And the Quit Smoking Now model, developed by the network statewide, provides facilitator training. It's a 6-week free program using the curriculum of the QSN. We provide the nicotine therapy up to 6 months of follow-up. Now, we've also extended that follow-up to 8 months. And it's available in English as well as Spanish, and you can see the work sites we have. In additional health work sites, we also have faith-based organizations, other work sites, university, and a number of other venues. So, as far as a statewide outcome, we've trained a total of 125. We've trained health professionals to utilize the QSN as well as the Quitline. Quitline, as we know, is a telephone counseling service, and our service is a face-to-face. It's either individual or group. So we do both, and we take referrals from the Quit Line and vice versa. If a person doesn't want to his name to be known or to be involved with the group, then we refer back to the Quit Line. And so we target rural and underserved communities. We market and promote the services throughout our 19-county area. With specific information here with respect to cessation services, we do it in these various sites, which are similar to the training. We have added rural health networks, county public schools, and universities, along with the county health departments. So what is the QSN in terms of how it works? It's a 6-week cessation class. It has 3 follow-up survey periods, 1 week, 4 weeks, and 3 months. And again, as I said, we're adding we're going up to the 8th month, and we have evaluation results. What is prepared here for you is a QSN program schedule so that you can see the relationship of what happens in those courses. It's a 6-week class, and as you can see, the boxed in areas are the curriculum. And on the third week, of that one's participation, it's the less quick week. And at that point, the individual then makes a commitment to quit, and we begin the nicotine replacement therapy for them based on their preference at that time. And as you can see, over the 6-week period that the individual receives the nicotine replacement therapy. So at the first week of quit, we do the first survey. Second survey is done 4 weeks after the person quits, 3 months, and then again, as I indicated to you, the 8th month. Here's a copy of the form that we use, and there are 4 call periods, and we can document exactly what we found in terms of that individual's activity. The one question we ask, have you smoked or used tobacco in the last 7 days, yes or no? So we took this data in our 19 counties, and the follow-up data, and to begin to look at the results based on the individuals contacted during those periodic periods that we had identified. And very interestingly enough, you can see that there's a close relationship between 1 week, 4 weeks, and 3 months with the percentage of quitters. What we elected to do was to apply a statistical measure to this data to be able to determine if there were any aberrations in terms of our treatment program between 208 and 209. And so therefore, what we did was the 95% confidence interval, and what we found is that the lower level of a confidence interval was 57%, and the upper level, a range, would be the upper part of the top arrow, and that would have been 63%. So in essence, there was no significant difference in terms of the training for the people who were trained in our cessation in 208 and 209, because the percentage of quitters fell within those ranges. So then that helped to assure us of the continuity of the training that we were doing, as well as understanding that the services were being appropriate and that we should see some better evidence of more quitters as we move on. And the explanation is here. The interval overlaps, so that meant that both 208 and 209 overlap one another on each of those times. So the interval overlap in 209, thus there is no significant statistical differences, again, as I said, between those 2 years. As was expected, we see that there is a homogeneity in terms of our cessation treatment program. Now, here's a crude rate. It's not a rate, it's a percentage, so it's to be corrected. It's the crude percentage based on yearly totals. For the 1 week between 08, 09, the 4 weeks, 08, 09, and 3 months. And what is being compared here, or the corollary that you're seeing, is the quit rate. And you will notice that there's a quit rate for both from 208 to 209, as well as from in the 4 week period, 208, 209, and the last period, 208, 209. And interestingly enough, when one compare the quit rate to the relapse rate, you notice while the quit rate goes up, the relapse rate goes down in each of those years. Now, of course, this is not an unduplicated count because people relapse several times. So you have an aggregate figure here. But in essence, what it shows is that 30%, we had a 30% increase in terms of the quitters in this program. So what does that tell us for our future planning activities? We've got to be able to continue and strengthen more our social support delivery as a crucial part of that treatment, knowing that we've had some portion of success in terms of keeping people in the quitting mode as long as the 8th month when we also went back out and did the survey. We want to be able to do more follow-up calls to identify relapsed individuals and quitters, create opportunities for individual reentry into the cessation class, as well as the counseling, and be able to ongoing do this relapse counseling, which is so very, very important when we know that the average number of times that a person relapses is around 7+, and intervention consistency as the program continues. In summary, the growth of the program showed an increased demand for smoking cessation classes. The QSN demonstrated an effective strategy for outreach to groups of new entrants, and we found that it was reliable to help reduce smoking, and we do believe that it can be replicated in other communities. Thank you very much.